A61. Number 10, A.
So, can you see what spirit does? The battle, the conflict. We call it usually a crisis. We call it a situation chemicalizes, if you take the alchemy of spirit. Huh? We say, well, he chemicalized. The situation chemicalized. What is the situation when we metaphysically call a situation is in a state of crisis, is chemicalizing? What happens? It is in that state where the final decision has not come out, where still the opposing powers or apparently opposing powers fight together. It's a transitional stage. Therefore, we can see that spirit can de-chemicalize a chemicalized condition. The alchemy of spirit can actually take that chemicalized condition and de-chemicalize it. How? Again, I repeat it, huh? Through spirit. If we look at the situation only from the standpoint of spirit and from the direct line of spirit, from the purity of spirit, and therefore do not mix it up with a human standpoint, with a human evaluation, with a material concept, with human conceptions and antagonism and fears and so on. If we don't mix it up, if the purity of spirit, the ideas of, again, huh? If the ideas of mind are kept alone in our consciousness, that spirit, then we de-chemicalize a chemicalized condition. And actually, you can do that very easily. Do it in your life. So often you come into a situation where you feel everything is upside down and things don't work out properly and where if somehow antagonistic forces seem to be at work. Just sit back and let the whole thing drop and say, now, what does mind know about the situation? You start with mind. And you see, mind only knows ideas. It only knows its right ideas. And then comes spirit. Then comes the deciding point. Are you sticking to your vision of mind? If we stick to the vision of mind, we have touched spirit, not mind. Is that clear? We have touched spirit, namely the decision not to let that whole vision of mind be mixed up with any other conception, with a human conception, with a material conception, with fear, with incertitudes, with mistrust, or whatever it is, huh? Not to let it mix up, to take the stand, if you say the stand, you have spirit, the stand of mind, that spirit, and you stick with that vision through hell and high water, you stick through it, and see that it is never touched, never mixed up with any other, with any opposite. And that sticking to it de-chemicalizes the situation.
Could we not say, Max, this continuing the comparison of chemicals mixing and so forth, that spirit continually mixes into the mass the elements of mind until the whole thing is transformed to the purity of mind itself?
Okay. Yeah. So you have a wonderful combination of mind and spirit, huh? You use as the elements of mind, which we have learned, huh? But permeating a situation constantly with these ideas of mind. Huh? Every time an illusion comes up and a false argument comes up, a suggestion comes up, you pour in your ideas of mind, and therefore you make a clear-cut distinction. That's spirit.
The inexhaustible ideas of mind, which are inexhaustible and will continually pour in until the whole thing is purified.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have, you say the whole thing is purified. Now, later on we see that spirit is purity. Huh? All right. Let's go on to birth. She says that ideas are born of spirit. Again, can you see the leading from mind to spirit. What would mind say to the whole thing that spirit gives birth? What is the complementary aspect in mind? Mind conceives or mind creates? When you say mind conceives, what does conceives mean in that context?
Creating an idea.
Yeah.
Conceives the idea. Create an idea.
Create an idea. Yeah. Because you, I think you are aware. Actually, I shouldn't tell that. I'm not of the English language, but the English language uses conceives in two ways. A woman conceives. Don't you say the woman conceives? And you can conceive with your mind. These are two different concepts. If a woman conceives, she takes in. She accepts. Whereas if the other sense is that mind conceives, means mind creates an idea. Mind begins to see an idea. So can you see that very same term can either be spirit or can be mind? It depends on its context. Again, can you see how ambiguous language is? And that therefore the dictionary cannot teach us the seven synonymous terms. So mind sees an idea, conceives of. I think you say of, if it is in mind, conceive of an idea. Yes. Whereas in spirit, you conceive the idea, you take it in. You let it in and you let it be brought forth. You accept it. This is spirit. This is the birth of spirit. To take that what mind has created and take it as the only. Then you give birth, that's the birth of spirit. So that spirit, she would say, brings forth. That spirit is the life-giving quality. Could he say that of mind, that mind is the life-giving quality? That life, that mind brings forth? Would that be? No. Can you see that? It's a step further. Before you can bring forth, you first have to plant the seed. The seed must first be planted in the ground, and then the ground can bring forth the flower or whatever it is. It begins to grow, begins to unfold. Therefore, all that is spirit. Yes. So, Mrs. Eddy, therefore, under birth, we have newness of life. She speaks a lot about spirit, about the spirit, the newness of life, the renewing of life, the renewal, spiritual conception, newborn of spirit. Can you see a lot of this new comes into spirit? Newborn, renewal, renewing, newborn.
Have I got this, Max? Spirit is the channel through which an idea becomes useful. If you think of an ideal is of no value until something happens. It's expressed through its idea. And spirit, therefore, would take from the source, mind, a comprehension of that and be the channel through which it becomes usable.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the unfolding channel. It's the,
the means through which the idea becomes of some value.
Yeah. Yeah. In which synonymous term does it become something?
Oh,
and soul, huh? So you have spirit as a channel, huh? From mind to soul, huh? Mm-hmm. Therefore, in soul you get the identity, huh? The definiteness of it. So mind first has to conceive of the idea. Huh? This idea through spirit has to unfold and to develop, huh? To come to birth, and it takes form and identity in soul. Then you've got the fundamental order. Yeah.
Where would you use the word define? It's not really used.
In soul.
In soul?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yet Mrs. A doesn't really use it in soul, that she would apply it. That
yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it has to do with identity. A definition is to give identity to something. Huh? So defining is only the grammatical aspect of identity.
But spirit is kind of drawing a line. Isn't that sort of a definite type of...
You see, it's only to draw the line between.
Not
give the outline, so to say, of something, huh?
Okay.
The defining, the outline of something, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yes. All right, so we have spirit giving birth. This is so important for us. My word, if we can't give birth to the idea, then we always plant seeds and nothing grows, huh? You see? And that is what happens. Why do you think that we have students that for 30, 40 years study the synonymous term and they have no fruits? You see? This is a question of life and death. This is a question of life fulfillment or not. These are not playing with words, what we do. This is a life question. Why on earth there is so much study put into the textbook, and why is there so little fruit? The fruits of spirit. Fruits of spirit are not, I have healed this case and I healed this case and I have made this business and I have made that. That's not the fruit of spirit. The fruit of spirit is the development of the idea so that it becomes substance and that it is at the point where it develops itself constantly to higher understanding and higher understanding. Why is it? Because most students stay with mind. They study. They don't give birth. They study, they study, they study. It's the beginning and it's right, but it only is right if it's the beginning. If it's the end of all, it's not right. So we must see that though we start with mind, and so mind translates itself to the human plane and says, learn, seek, study, investigate, discover. Though we do that, the whole thing is stale, is unfruitful, has no birth, until we know something about the birth of spirit. Without a good sense of scientific obstetrics, nothing is evolving. You only get into a word game, and one throws around words here and there, and you come into new combination of words and combinatorics of words, and it's all words here and words there and new words and new combination of words. It's dead as a dodo. Only spirit gives birth, and that's where we have to see that we don't miss the boat. Therefore, one of the assignments I give for next year, for every student who wants to come next year, is that he studies scientific obstetrics not once, but every day. Every day. That will be assignment, and if you don't do it, don't come next year. The class will get smaller and smaller every year now, you know, because I don't take in more new people, you see. So we'll get smaller and smaller. Don't be surprised if we get smaller and smaller. This is the line of spirit that separates. So without that wonderful sense of spirit which really can ponder, which really can love the ideas of mind, can culture the ideas of mind, can stand in awe before the ideas of mind, can worship the ideas of mind, without that inner spiritual adoration and worship, the ideas don't grow within us. They have no nurture. No, they are not nurtured. They fall on ground, but the ground is hard. It doesn't, and so they don't take root.
isn't Mrs. Eddy's definition of spiritual sense particularly pertinent to what you're just saying? A spiritual sense, is a constant conscious capacity to understand God, spirit, understanding mind.
Yes, a spiritual sense is even something more than that. It comes in soul, and we see that when we come to soul, that it is even a higher sense of the understanding of spirit. Yes? Mm-hmm. But that spiritual sense forms itself through the birth of spirit. Forms itself through that sense where just our whole love is given to the idea. And on the love to the idea, I mean where our time is given to the idea, our efforts are given to the idea, our means are given to the idea, our energies are given to the idea, where everything is given to the idea. That's love to the idea. And that is, you say, take a stand. Huh? See, spirit... Perhaps we don't have that in our list, so I take it right as it comes into my mind. Spirit is something wonderful. And so simple. It says, you have the spirit when you always put first things first. Then you have the point of spirit in your life. Can you see the distinction, that line of demarcation? If you don't put first things second, but if you put first things first in your life, and you will see that it is a battle, that it is a conflict, because all the other demands will come on us, says, yes, you know, you can do that, but first you have to do this and that and the other. You can't do that, or you hurt this and that and the other. You just watch yourself. I give you a whole year on the scientific obstetrics and to watch how all these suggestions and come in and say, yes, you know, science is wonderful. I wouldn't miss science for anything. Science has saved my life. It's really my one and all love. And the next moment it is second.
Stop it, you're killing me.
Yeah. It's scary. See, that's what the second day says. Are you putting first things first? Mind is first. Mind is first. You start always with mind. Spirit says, are you always starting with mind? Are you always mind at the first place? At the first place, mentally, spiritually, lovingly, in the way of effort, in the way of time, in the way of energies, in the way of affection, in the way of everything. Are you putting it first? If not, if you find other things come first, you have lost your standpoint of spirit. We can't fool ourselves. I mean, we have to be at least honest to ourselves and say, all right, I don't put it first. I put it second. I am honest enough, I put it second, and therefore I cannot expect that things will work out to the best, because I haven't put it first. See, how have ever big ideas being brought forth, and how could they ever develop in the world? Right through the thousands of years. How? Through some people who put their ideal first and foremost, and that's that. They didn't mind anything else. Think of a Pole. He didn't ask first, if I go in this town, I know those Jews, they really will kill me, and those heathen, they really will stone me. I don't think I go there. Huh? He didn't think that way. He didn't care tuppence. No, not two hoots, huh? Not 1 cent, huh? Whatever is in America. They didn't care a thing what was happening with their lives. They only knew one thing. I have an ideal, and I put everything into that ideal. No matter if they cut off my head or not. No matter if they put me in prison or not. No matter if they stole me or not. Only this character could bring the idea forward. You can look back in the history of an idea, you can't see that the half-hearted man has done anything big. Not one. You can't. This is against the law of spirit. So start. Start and try to do it as always a bit more and more, to see where do our affections lie. That's Mrs. Eddy's question. Where do your affections lie? Do you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Here you have the first three synonymous terms. Is that first? If not, all right, then it's not. But don't expect anything afterwards. Don't expect it. Could be if you would get anything without that, the law of God would be different. It would say if you are half-hearted, you get along much better. But they don't say so. Isn't it? It's, you know, to go along Christian Science needs a whole man. It's a tough guy, you know, and needs a strong woman. A very strong. They can't play with it. You can't make compromises left and right. You can't. You can't go along and not hurt your friends. You can't go along and not hurt your family. You can't. You can't. Either you are going along with God, or you are going along with the family, or with the business, or with your neighbors, or with popularity, or with the time, or whatever. But that is not spirit. Spirit separates and says, there is only one line. Go along with God. No matter what the costs are. The costs are not really big, because you gain so much that the costs don't count. The cost is only very big humanly, but divinely the cost is nil. So that's spirit, huh? Can you see these synonymous terms are not words? They are attitudes, huh?
In the words of someone I read the other day, it says, it is absolutely impossible for man to escape the consequences of his own thinking.
Absolutely, yeah. We go on in our study of spirit. We considered the new birth, the birth of spirit, and it shows that birth is that which brings the seed of mind to fruition, brings the seed of mind forth. So, whereas mind creates, spirit brings forth. We have here a step further than the creative mind. Now, spirit is that which channelizes the birth, which prepares the birth, and brings forth. Therefore, we can see why the next idea fits in very easily, namely that's development, the development of spirit. Under development, naturally, you can have unfoldment, evolution, that spirit evolves, she says, that spirit unfolds. Perhaps we could bring in other terms. What could you bring in other terms as unfolds and evolves and develops? What would be others that show this forward going, this development? You have the progress of spirit, the progress of spirit, the advancement of spirit. Can you hear? Everything that now has to do, that the seed of mind is now sprouting, is now developing, is now progressing, that something is now moving forward, this forward move, this forward going, all this has to do with spirit. Why has it to do with spirit? Or why does spirit take care of that forward movement? See? That you have to think out. It's not enough that we have a list of ideas. You have to think out what is the spiritual language behind it, what is the spiritual tone behind it, the spiritual import behind it. What makes development development? Why isn't the... See, you, can you tell me? Yeah?
It keeps development from going every which way. It's gathering in order.
That's one thing, huh? That would be order, huh? So we get that much more under the term than order, but it's development. What, yes?
There's always something going on in spirit. There's always the birth that is taking place in spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's always the birth. But you have to see, why do we need spirit? Why does spirit function here in order that there is development at all? Have you ever heard that something stagnates? The counterfeit of development is stagnation. Now, why does something stagnate?
It's not stirred up. Spirit removes all the hindrances.
You got it, huh? You see, development does mean nothing else but that the creative ability of mind is not checked, is not opposed, that it is not, that there is no hindrance. Spirit, therefore, is that which sorts out things and says, my office, my job, so to say, is to see that there is no opposition, that there is no hindrance, that there is no, what do you call all these things? No obstructions, huh? You see? What is birth, huh?
Opposition.
You see? If there is opposition, obstruction, the whole thing gets stale, huh? Holds, stagnates. Spirit is that which can put every opposition out of the way. Again, it's that which says, I don't know any opposite, therefore there is no hindrance for the ever-evolving, ever-developing creative idea. You always can go back to mind. Mind says, I have a creative idea. I project a new idea into being. Well, the moment this is opposed, you have obstruction. Now, how can we handle opposition? Opposition is handled by spirit, not by mind. Opposition is the question of duality, of antagonism, antagonistic forces, antagonistic laws, antagonistic motives, affections, leanings, and so on. So we can see that we ourselves only evolve spiritually, make progress spiritually, unfold spiritually, only then when spirit reigns within us, spirit which has no opposition, which does not acknowledge a counter argument, a counter force, a counter law, or anything counter. It is therefore our inner attitude which determines how much progress we make. It is not the question, progress is a nature of God, but how much progress do we make? We make exactly as much progress as we put all dualistic concept out of our consciousness. And then we really build a high road through the wilderness and there is no more anything antagonistic within ourselves. Yes?
Max, I kind of see this also from the point of view that mind is constantly expanding. It's constantly pouring forth new, ever new, continuously ideas from its very nature as infinity. Therefore, those ideas have to have a place to go, to have some meaning. And spirit then becomes the channel through which these things flow. It's like a spring on a side of the mountain. You have a spring as water is constantly bubbling out. That water has to go somewhere, and it finds its channel. The channel has to be there because the water is keeping coming.
It's keeping coming, huh?